believe it'd be a just something for us to think about tonight. Just a little simple lesson. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes on this little lesson about how great God is. And the Bible says here in Psalm 89, verse 6, it says this, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?" Now I want to deal with both those parts of that verse, but the first part would be, who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? That's a great question. The way the Bible teaches, the way Jesus taught, is by comparing something. And when a person compares something, it's like an illustration. If I say, you know what a pulpit is? You say, no, I ain't never seen one before. I say, well, it's this big box, you know, and it's kind of square, and you lay a Bible on it. You say, well, I just can't understand what you mean. Okay, have you ever seen a wood desk? Yeah, I've seen a wood desk. I say, well, it's kind of like that. Then you got a picture in your mind. So I'm comparing the wood desk to the pulpit. And if I say, have you ever seen a Volkswagen? You say, no, what's it look like, Brother Danny? Well, kind of looks like a little sad car. And it kind of looks like it's got a frown on it. You know, the little sad eyes. That's the way a Volkswagen looks. And it's kind of just round like an egg. And then you start getting this picture in your mind. And I could draw one. Now, here the Bible says, who, we've never seen God, we've never seen heaven. Who are we going to compare to the Lord? If I want to tell you tonight, the Lord's like this, or the Lord's like that. You ever seen them little things somebody made up and said, Jesus is like Coca-Cola, he's the real thing. Jesus is like, you know, all them things. I don't know about all that. But you can't really compare God to nobody. There's nobody you can compare him with. There's no thing you can compare God with. Let's think about who's in heaven. Who is in heaven? Now, the way we're going to do this is find out what's in heaven. Now, as far as I can tell, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 things in heaven besides God. The first one are seraphim. The second one are cherubim. The third one are angels. The fourth one are the saints of God. And the fifth one is demonic spirits, and they're not really in the presence of God. They're just kind of in the heavens, between here and there somewhere. Now, who of them are you going to compare with God? Let's think first of all about that thing called a seraphim. Have you ever read about a seraphim in the Bible? These things have 3 pairs of wings. 6 wings. 2 coming out here. I don't know. 2 coming out here. 2 coming out here. They look like a dragonfly, snake feeder. And but these things can just go zoom like that with them 6 wings. 6 wings. Now, let me show them in the Bible. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 6. And some of you have wondered about the difference between these things. So let's take just a minute and I'll show you the difference between them. Isaiah chapter 6. And I'll ask you to turn to a few verses here since I ain't going to preach tonight. We're going to teach, so you got to turn when I teach. Isaiah chapter number 6. And here's these things called seraphim. Somebody asked, what's the difference between a seraphim and a cherubim? I'll show you now. They have 3 pairs of wings. And look at here, Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, also the Lord, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, you know what kind of train that is. The people behind that's not talking about like a real train like we know. Above it stood the seraphims. Here they are. They're these heavenly creatures. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. All right. Then Isaiah fell down and he said, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. So these dudes, they do like this. They stand there in heaven and they have 6 wings. 2 coming out here, 2 coming out here, and 2 coming out down here. Just like I had 6 arms tonight. And with these 2, they cover their face. And with them 2, they cover their feet. And with these middle 2, they fly. I have no idea in the world why they're like that. I don't know if they ever uncover their face. I don't know if maybe they're waiting on us to get there. I don't know if, I don't have no idea why they cover their face. But they do like this with their wings, cover their face, cover their feet, and then fly around like that. And they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They fly around God's throne. Can't you see these things? I don't know how many of them they are. With twain they covered their face, and with twain they covered their eyes, or their feet, and with twain they did fly. I've always enjoyed reading that. I ain't got the slightest idea why I mean that. Does anybody here know why they're like that? Okay, well, you don't know no more than I do then. That makes me feel better. Did you know what? They're called seraphim. They're called seraphim. They're heavenly creatures that go around the throne of God. You can't compare God to them. God made them things. They can only be in one place at a time. They're not omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent like God is. God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. And God, they're not like that. They're going to be at one place at a time, and their power is limited. So a seraphim cannot compare to the Lord. Then there's something else in heaven. These things are called cherubim. Now let's look at the difference in a cherubim. Somebody tell me where the cherubim are. Anybody know? Ezekiel chapter 1. Oh, Ezekiel there and his UFO in Ezekiel chapter 1. And you'll look here and see where he's seen all these things right in front of him. And buddy, this old boy, he's seen some visions. Now, I ain't kidding you. And Ezekiel began to see some things here. And the Lord began to show him some things. And he saw these things called cherubim. And these cherubim only have two pairs of wings, but lo and behold, have four faces. A face like a man, face like an ox, face like an eagle, and a face like a lion. And their job is to guard the throne of God. Look at Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion, and the face on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox and the face on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Verse 9 said, their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. Don't ask me how they do that. It looks like if the only way they ever flew was straight forward, they'd finally just leave, don't they? Looks like you'd have to come back sometime or another. Maybe they fly away down here somewhere and stop over in heaven and then turn around and fly back. But when they're flying, their face don't turn. They can see four different directions at once. You're talking about eyes in the back of your head, man. These things here have got them. I mean, they can see all directions around them. One's like an eagle, one's like an ox, one's like a lion, and the other's like a man. And there's a creature. That represents the four classes of life on this earth. Did you know there's one class missing? And that is the reptilian class. And that's because that fifth cherub fell, that became the devil, and the reptilian class is not represented in heaven. God cursed him. That goes back to what I was talking about a while ago. God cursed that serpent and said, you got to go on your belly all of your days. And did you know even in the millennium, that serpent's still going to be on his belly? The curse ain't even lifted off the serpent in the millennium. They're cursed. Those things are cursed to show us how God curses a snake. Or curse the devil. He cursed the snake. Show us how he cursed the devil. Now, these things here are called cherubim. They're heavenly creatures. Their job is to, I reckon, guard the throne of God or something like that. They're up there doing something in God's heaven. And they represent the kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the human species, or race of people. Now, you can't compare them to God. They cannot be compared to God. No comparison whatsoever. People say, "Boy, I'll tell you, I saw this great creature." This great creature is nothing. God made that great creature. It's nothing compared to God. Then, number three, there's something else in heaven. There are angels. Let's turn the Bible to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And there's many, many, many references to angels in the Bible. And I'm sure you are aware of the great revival that angels are having here in the last few years. You hear a lot of talk about angels and angels saving people. And everywhere you go, they got these little weird looking angels. And they got and they're helping little kids cross bridges and stuff like that. And I don't deny that God's angels intervene. I don't deny the belief in a guardian angel. I think that's very well possible and probably true. Jesus talked about them kids one time. He said, their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. Many people and preachers believe, and I guess, you know, I pretty well believe this. I wouldn't preach it as absolute truth, but believe that every one of us has an angel watching over us. I don't know that for a fact, but it does, especially those kids. You know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some people said that one of them angels named goodness and the other one's named mercy, and they just follow you around and take care of you. I've heard stories of angels intervening and doing stuff. But I want to tell you something. This modern day conception of angels ain't all angels, because what they're doing and saying is not scriptural. And if what they're doing and saying isn't scriptural, they're not angels, they're something else. They're demon spirits or somebody's imagination. Gene Dixon said that this big python or something came in her bedroom and wrapped itself around her bed, you know, and looked in her eyes and started telling her stuff. And that's how she got a revelation. Well, if that's true, Gene Dixon didn't get it from God. And Gene Dixon didn't get it from God. No way, if that happened or not. But here in 2 Thessalonians, look at verse number 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now they are mighty in power. We see that one angel killed 185,000 men one night. One angel. But guys don't mess around. When an angel come down, had this army, 185,000, wipe them out. 185,000 men. Zap. That's what the power of an angel did. One angel rolled away the stone on Jesus as He rose from the dead. One angel, the Bible says, will come down one day and bind the devil and wrap him up and throw him, put him on a chain gang for 1,000 years. One angel did that. One angel. They're glorious, but they're not God. They're powerful, but they're not all-powerful. They're glorious, but they're not omniscient. The Bible said they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister them, will be heirs of eternal life. Now, when you think about angels, you automatically think about famous angels. There's regular angels, and then in the Bible there's what's called an archangel. And an archangel is like the top number one angel. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and some of you probably won't agree with this, but it's because you've just heard this all your life. There is only one archangel mentioned in the Bible. Normally, every preacher, teacher, book, everywhere says that there are two archangels, Gabriel and Michael. But the Bible doesn't say anything about Gabriel being an archangel. I've heard them say, "Boy, the voice of the Lord should ascend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel." And what? Who's everybody say that is? Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet, right? Where's that come from? Bible don't say Gabriel's going to blow no trumpet. Don't say that. Well, how come everybody believes that? Where does that come from? When old Gabriel gives his signal, and you know, all them songs, all stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise, meet him in the air. You know, all them songs like that. Got Gabriel, old Gabriel's going to toot and we're going to scoot. You know, all them old songs like that. All them songs like that. You got Gabriel blowing the horn. Well, the Bible don't say nothing about Gabriel blowing no horn. Now he might, but the Bible don't say it. The Bible said the voice of the archangel. Only one archangel in the Bible. Michael the archangel. When old Michael gives his signal, they might change all them songs in. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in on you tonight so you can be a little bit more scriptural when you talk and when you sing and whatever. Now, somebody in here, can anybody in here give me one reason why that they would say that Gabriel's the archangel blowing a trumpet when Jesus comes back? Anybody? He's noggin now. Anybody? There you go, Jack. You got it. Because Gabriel was the angel that announced his first coming. It was the angel Gabriel that appeared to him and said, he's going to be born and you're going to be a child by the Holy Ghost and all that stuff. So people automatically assume that he's going to announce the second coming, which he might. But it does not say that he will. So you remember this. An angel is powerful, but an angel is not all powerful. An angel cannot be compared with the Lord. Then there's the saints. The saints of God in heaven. You can't compare the saints of God with God. Even though they're glorious and can walk through walls and stuff, man, you can't compare them with God. And then the demonic spirits, you sure can't compare a demon spirit with God. An angel can whip a demon spirit. All right? Then the verse says, who among the sons of the mighty? All right, we got the sons of the mighty. We was talking last night, Big John was telling me about them, what call them things over in Asheville? The tough man contest that they have in Asheville. And he asked me, had I ever been and seen the tough man contest? And I said, no, I've never been. I wouldn't mind watching somebody just beat the fool out of each other. But I had never been. I ain't planning on going. And, he said there's some pretty tough customers over there. And you just get over there, man, you get in the ring. If you get beat, you're out. If you beat somebody up, you got to beat the next guy up and beat the next guy. He said they have a tough women over there, tough women contest. And there's some old girl here from Marion can about win that thing if she gets in there just right and lays a few good punches. Gina could win that. No, she don't fight no more. Let's see who else in here can fight real good. Linda Hout could, I guarantee it. Who else in here used to be a prize fighter, you ladies? Who's that? Miss Chang? You better behave, little boy. I thought he looked kind of funny, didn't you? She beat his eyes in. Did you know what? They have these tough men, tough women. And buddy, they slug it out, man. Pow, pow, pow. And they fight and fight till I reckon somebody just gets knocked out or falls down or whatever. And brother, they're the sons of the mighty. Brother Ryman got up there. He said, you ever seen the Ultimate Fighting Championship? And I said, no. And he said, look at this. We're having youth fellowship over in their house. All the young people, teenagers, we're singing gospel songs. And he said, watch this. He put in a VCR, beat tape in the VCR. And he said, watch this, Danny. And boy, I was watching that. And son, now that's them guys fight now. I mean, no gloves, no nothing. I mean, it's just bam, bam, bam. And they was knocking each other down. You kind of go, oh my goodness, that's kind of rough to watch, but it's getting good. And he said, and Brother Ryman's just going there like, yes, you know, he's just eating that up. He said, that's a Christian life right there. That's a Christian life. And that's true, brother. The Christian life is a fight. You got to fight to stay right. And these guys are tough. I mean, tell you, buddy, they are tough. They beat your eyes in. I'm telling you, they're tough. Now, Jason over here is pretty tough. And Jody, you know, some of these boys, they fight. We have boxing out to camp a little bit every now and then. But I'm telling you, these men are tough. They're the sons of the mighty. Who is strong? You know what the Bible said? You can't compare them to God. Here comes some guy walking out and they play his music. WWF. He comes out with his purple panties on. You know, and his go-go boots, you know. He's got makeup on him. The sickeningest looking things I've ever seen in my life. These ain't tough guys. He's got copper tone rubbed all over and his legs shaved, you know, and everything. He's not tough. But some of these guys I'm talking about are tough. Now listen, you know who the strongest man in the world is? Smell ain't everything. verse 10 said this, the greatest lift, unless somebody's broke this record, was 6,270 pounds by Paul Anderson. Many years ago, I don't know if that record's ever been broke. 6,270 pounds lifting off the ground. That's more than a small car, isn't it? A lot more. Two cars. I don't believe that. That's what statistics say. Back lift, June 12th, 1977. Or 1957, I'm sorry. He can jerk in the ground. 560 pounds. He bench pressed 627 pounds, 1,200 off a squat, and deadlift 820 pounds. Bench press 620 pounds. Let's see. Oh man, I can imagine. If you put me down right here on this bench right here and laid 627 pounds, it'd squash me. It'd probably just completely squash my body just like that. 627 pounds. Do you know what? What is that to God? That is not a crumb. We make people, oh, the great so-and-so. Oh, the mighty. The sons of the mighty cannot be compared to our God. Now, these records may have been broken by now. Does anybody know the deadlift bench press record now? Has them records ever been broke? Where you at, Jody? How much can you do? 185? You can do more than that. Is it really? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they could do a 1,000-pound bench press, do you think that would compare to God? We look at them buildings in New York. Boy, we went in them buildings, and you get right to Empire State Building, look up, and you think, good night. Look at that thing. How could a man build that? And then I go to LaGuardia, the airport up there, or JFK, whichever one, and I go to one of those airports and fly out in an airplane, and I look down, and them things, they look like this. Little bitty buildings around, little toys. And then look what God done out here. Empire State Building looks about like that, man. Looks like little bitty. You can fly in New York, see all around it. There's the Statue of Liberty, and there's the Empire State Building, and there's the World Trade Center, and there's all that stuff around it. There it is. Look at a little spot about that big. And then the whole big universe that God made. You can't compare. You cannot compare. People's talking about, of course, Princess Diana all this week, and you know, I don't want to exploit that situation. That's sad, really. It really is. It's sad. Sad situation. That girl, the devil ruined her life. And sin finally took her life. Sure did. Guy driving drunk, living high on the hog, man. That guy was her boyfriend. Can you imagine how he felt? Can you imagine how that guy must have felt? He is on top of the world. One of the most beautiful women in the world, supposedly. Says she's getting caught on up in years. But she's sitting right beside him. And got millions of dollars. His daddy was a billionaire. Driving in about a $90,000 Mercedes. Cruising down the road. The world at his fingertips. Anything that man wanted, he could have. People think, wow, how great. And the next second, he's in eternity without God. A Muslim. That's awful. That's something to think about. You can't compare nobody to God. You can't compare nobody to God. He controls the water. He controls the rain. You know when it rains? When he tells it to. You know when it stops? When he says stop. You know, 1916, the great big flood hit McDowell County. Come down through L.A. up there. Lower Alder Pass. It rained and rained and rained and rained. It rained 22 inches in 24 hours. Up toward Avery County, up toward Spruce Pine, up through there. In 24 hours it rained 22 inches, the highest ever recorded, they said at that time, in the United States. McDowell County was completely cut off from the outside world. And you might find some Miss Greenlee or some of them tell you all about it. Some of them people still alive. That's what built Lake James. When that flood left, they dammed it up there and began Lake James, the flood of 1916. And people were killed, farms were destroyed, houses were evacuated. Ruth Greenlee, I think, is that the Miss Greenlee that always talks school? I think she was talking about it. Saw buildings, trees floating down the river, down Buck Creek, North Cove, all up in that section of Lake Tahoma, up through there. Trees came down, came through the houses, people in them. God can say, rain, and there ain't nothing a man can do to stop it. God can say, stop, and they can dance around till they're blue in the face and shoot rockets up in the atmosphere, and it ain't going to make one drop of rain fall. Who can be compared to the Lord? He runs the show. And He's our Savior and our boss man. And you should never be ashamed to be associated with Him. Amen? The world's like this in outer space. And it's spinning. Then the moon's out here, you know, going around the world. Then the whole thing like this is going around the sun while it's spinning like this. And then the sun's out here. And then here's way out in outer space. The world's just a little speck. A little speck. In space. God made it all. Our best defense in America tonight against all kinds of trouble is to get back right with God. You know, we're trying to store up this, and I saw some reports where that the Center of Disease Control was spending more money to fight AIDS than heart disease, cancer, all these other things. And it's showing us that our whole nation, all we're concerned about is how they're going to sin and get away with it. But that'll never save us as a nation. The Bible said, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And you say, we're just a little group of people here in Marion. We can't make no difference. Well, you don't know about that. Little as much when God's in it. And if everybody of us would do like I preach Sunday night, start with one person, tell somebody, work on somebody, get in here tomorrow, let's go visit tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. I mean, you don't never know what God might do. You never know. He can do great things. Nobody can be compared with Him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Amen.